recognize that there are all types of moms here today. There's single moms, there's stepmoms, there's grandmothers who are taking a second round at being a mom, which that's my place, that's what I'm doing. And then there are foster moms, those who are giving of themselves to foster children that are not even their own, but to love them and bring them to health and wholeness. But I also want to recognize military moms. You know, we have a large military contingent here in our body because of the Lemoore Naval Air Base. And there's a lot of you moms that go through many deployments. You go through many training exercises that your husband is gone. And it's not just that they're gone, but they could be in danger. So we thank you, military moms, for being here, and we honor you. All moms, we want to welcome you. We want to welcome, right, all moms. And it's tough being a mom. It really is tough being a mom, but God graces us. I want to bring your attention to the bulletin here. And there is a poem that has been added here to the bulletin, and it's called A Tribute to All Mothers. I'm not going to read it all. I trust that you will read it. It's very, very sweet. It was written by one of our young adults here in Koinonia. She's not a high school student. She's a young adult. And it was written to her mom. And her mom is Gladys Hill, who is standing right there on the very end. That was her mom. And she wrote this to her, and it's a precious one. It's the one phrase I really love. She says, "Now some have taken this job lightly," talking about being a mother, "and some say it's the same as another, and some say, and some, this may be true, but then again, you've never met my mother. She takes it seriously." So it's a serious, serious job. I came across this cartoon as I was preparing for today, and it's Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Calvin and Hobbes cartoons. It was one of my favorites. Calvin is a little boy, and Hobbes is his pet tiger, or his little stuffed animal tiger that has come to life, and they have adventures. But this is what he did for Mother's Day. It's pictured that he's standing by his mom's bed, and he's shaking her, going, "Mom, Mom, Mom, wake up. I made you a card for Mother's Day." And, you know, it's like, the one thing we would really like to do on Mother's Day is we'd really like to sleep in. Yeah. Not have anyone, "Mom, Mom, Mom, wake up," because we get that enough. And she says, "Oh, how sweet of you. That's so thoughtful." He says, "I did it all myself. Go ahead, read it." And this is what she reads. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day." There, I've said it. I'm done. "So now how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son?" Signed, Calvin. Now, doesn't that make you think it's many times a thankless job? It really is. Mothering, you know, these little kids just don't understand what a sacrifice it is to get out of bed early and make their breakfast and pack their lunches and do all of these things, wash their clothes. They think it's pretty thankless. But yet, God wants you to know that He sees every sacrifice you make. He sees every time you do something for that child, and you're going to be blessed for that. I think one of the things I was reading this year as I was starting my reading through the Bible is in Genesis, and it was the story of Hagar at one point, and she had run away from home. It's just situations. I mean, you can read in Genesis where it's at. And anyways, she is out in the desert. She's by herself. And God comes and speaks with her. Before she's even cried out, before she's even said a word, God comes to her and He calls her by name. And He says, "Don't fear. You go back home. Go back where you belong. I will make you a great nation." And she named that place, Hagar named that place, "The God Who Sees Me." And that's the thing that I love the most, is God sees you. He sees me. He sees every time we do something for someone else. He sees every time we make a sacrifice. And so that's a comfort to me. I know some people will say, "Oh, I don't want him to see me doing that." You know, or "I don't want this," but we're not perfect. And God sees us and loves us, still loves us. But today we want to thank you for doing that thankless job. Thank you for all the time that you've spent, and know that you are loved. Now I want you to watch this video, and it's going to kind of tell you how difficult a mother's job is.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry.
Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Oi.
Hi, nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job, it's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Aww.
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Those are the perks of a non-paying job, okay? loving your kids. You know, we do want to recognize moms by giving them a gift. Would you want to tell them what it is?
Well, I want to say mom's job is all-encompassing, and
It's easy to show her love and affection and buy her things, but it's a dirty, dirty world out there, and being a mom is a dirty, dirty job.
Especially when you have to change diapers.
Especially if you have under the age of two. So we have a gift for you moms. If you'll go ahead and stand up for all our moms here. If you go and have a gift, we'll have ushers come forward. Yes?
Yes. We ushers, have, come on and let's...
We have a card. On the card is a little bottle of scented hand sanitizer.
And it says, all moms deserve a hand.
All moms deserve a hand. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just to help you out, make your life a little sweeter, a little cleaner at the same time.
Now, when we showed, you know, it's like, this is the one out of my purse. I didn't know if we'd have enough, so I took one and taped it on mine and taped on here. And when we showed it to the guys, they go, oh, that's a gift. Well, you know, for us, it is.
They don't know what we like or
they
want.
They don't know. Yes.
Read the scripture.
Oh, and the scripture is out of Proverbs 31:31. And don't go crazy when you think, oh, I hate Proverbs 31, because it talks about a mom there and a mother, and but it does say here, it says, honor her.
If you've received your gift, you can have a seat.
Yes, you can see.
Yeah, thank you.
It says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and that's found in Proverbs 31, so you are being honored today.
Let's give our moms a hand.
Amen.
Moms, you're awesome. I love the video. I thought that really hit the nail on the head. He's explaining this job that is all encompassing, 365 days every hour, don't get paid, blah, 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 the whole thing. And it seemed like it wasn't real until you've stayed up with your kids all night long. They won't go to sleep and they're colicky when they're young, or they're throwing up or sick and you're cleaning it up and you're sleepy. So it is kind of all encompassing. Eva. Yeah. Waiting for Eva to come out here.
Where is she at?
She's in backstage.
Okay.
She's back.
Oh, she's coming. I'll
come on, girl. We also want to do, as the ushers are finishing passing out, we want to make it a special acknowledgement to our oldest mom. We have a special gift for you. So I'm going to shout out a number. We won't nail it on the head. We'll give you that little space. But if you're at this age or older, I want you to raise your hand. If you're 75, raise your hand. 75 over here. 80, do we have anybody 80? 80 over here. Okay. 85 over here. Is there just one?
No,
just the one? There's two of them. 88, 86 here, past 88 over here, 90, can I go 90 over here, 90 here, 92, I'm going to go in amounts of two, 92, 91, so 90, we had a tie at 90.
We have a tie.
A tie at 90, Donna. We didn't encounter that one. We didn't think. So you're 90. Happy. Awesome. Okay, so let's go by...
Their birthday month.
The birthday month. What month were you born?
June.
October.
October.
Don't listen to me. What month was she born?
December.
So...
Daisy.
Huh?
Come and
December's
get
not the oldest. Here's our oldest mom right here. Come on up here, Mom. Give it up for a 90. How many children do you have? How many children do you have? Nine children?
Probably more than nine.
Yes. How many children do you have?
Two.
Two children.
Yeah.
She has two children. She'll be 91 in June. Whoops. Oh, in October. That's what I said. Don't listen to me. Please listen to me. Okay, we also want to acknowledge our newest mom, those that have just still feeling the pains of labor. if you've had a baby in the last month, raise your hand. Anybody here? Do you see anybody in the last month? Last 2 months?
No,
we have somebody?
Way in the back.
Come forward, honey, we have a gift for you. And she has a baby in her arms. And you can accompany her. Let's ask her when she had it. Come on forward. We want to see you. She had a baby in her arms, so she's handing it off. We're going to fill it with something else. Yeah. We have a lovely basket loaded with mom stuff. So, dads, you're not going to be interested in any of it. Tell us about yourself, honey.
Hi.
What's your name?
Priscilla.
Priscilla, when did you have your baby?
March 17th.
March 17th. So that's, what, 2 months?
Almost.
Almost, yeah. 2 months. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. Okay. We're not done yet. How many of you have ever been to a women's ministry function here at Koinonia? Raise your hand. They're awesome. Huh, Debbie? Yeah. And in women's ministry, we love to come and we love to give favors. So like when you go to a party, you get a favor. Today, you've all come. If you're a mom, you've got a favor. You got a little hand sanitizer to pull out and think about Koinonia and think about how mom's a dirty job. We also want to give you an extra little gift. And so we have five or six of you out there. On the back of your card, there is a sticker. It should look like a butterfly. And if you have one of those, come up here because we have a gift for you. If we need to, we're going to use this one. Come on up here. Oh, you did?
I sure did.
Oh, my God. You're so smart because I was going to give one out. Well, hello, little lady. Do we have anybody? We're not going to embarrass you, I promise.
Sure.
I promise. That's it?
A prize?
Nobody wins a prize? I think you need to go pull a couple moms up here. Go out there and pull a couple moms. This is Heather. I know Heather. She's an awesome mom. Yes, she's a military mom, which is an extra whoop whoop because she does it alone a lot. Come on up here, mommy. Okay, so you also know if you've been to women's ministry, we don't just give away gifts for free. We like to make our ladies work for it. We're not going to make you work too hard. Because it's Mother's Day, and that would be me. So the kids have a game called Would You Rather? And Would You Rather is a game kids and teenagers play, and it goes something like this. Would you rather eat a live cockroach or an old dried piece of cat poop?
Oh.
Ew, huh? Yeah.
That's not the one we're playing, right?
Okay. And then you have to ask answer the question. You have to say, oh, I'm gonna go with the cat poop. Yeah, it's disgusting, but I'll eat it rather than a live cockroach. We're gonna play the mom version of that because that would just be mean. I would not make my ladies eat a piece of cat poop. So Heather, I'm gonna ask you a question and you're gonna answer me. Truthfully, which you would rather. And if you answer correctly, you get a prize. And if you answer incorrectly, you get a prize. Because that's the way we do it. Okay, so Heather, would you rather have your family clean the entire house while you just sat and watched? Or would you rather leave the family in the messy house and run off for a pedicure?
The pedicure.
Pedicure.
For sure.
Okay, so your hubby's on duty and your kids are in service. Can somebody get the message to her kids that she doesn't care if her house is messy? She just wants a pedicure. Please, help her sister out. Okay. Happy Mother's Day, Heather. That's it, see? So painless. So painless.
Can I sit down?
Yes. Now, Heather's a trooper because I've made her play games like Fear Factor and she's had to eat funky things and so she had it easy. Okay, what's your name?
Evelyn.
How many children do you have, Evelyn?
Four.
Four children. Is this one of your children?
Yes.
Oh, she literally has her hands full. Okay, Evelyn. So I'm going to ask you a question, and you answer truthfully. Evelyn, would you rather spend a day at a big party with lots of people or spend the day in a quiet room with a good book?
Probably... lots of people.
Lots of people. Evelyn's a party animal. So if you're having a party today, please invite Evelyn and her four kids. They won't eat much. Happy Mother's Day, Evelyn.
Good
morning. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Pamela.
Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many kids do you have, Pam?
I have two sons and we have two foster children.
Oh, so you got four altogether. You're a busy woman. Okay, here's your question, Evelyn. Would you rather have a long bubble bath or go for a long, relaxing walk?
Bubble bath
all the way. Yeah. She don't want to go for a walk. That's work. So if you haven't bought her a gift already, y'all, she needs a bubble bath. Okay? There you go. Thank Happy you. Mother's Day, Evelyn. Thank you. Good morning, honey. Good. Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Fran Doyle.
Fran.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm putting the name together with the face.
Uh-oh.
Fran, how many children do you have?
I have three sons.
Three awesome sons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's a question, Fran. Looking for a good one. Here we go. Fran, would you rather have your family cook you a delicious dinner or take you out for dinner? Take you out. She didn't even have to think about it.
Take me out.
Take her out. Okay, so all you men that are in her family, she doesn't trust you. She wants to go out to dinner, and she doesn't want to go to Taco Bell. Okay, good morning, honey. What's your name?
Tracy.
This is Tracy. Tracy, how many children do you have?
I have a baby girl's three, and my son is two.
Oh, Tracy is so busy. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that I'm past that hump. Okay, Tracy, here we go. Would you rather get a new hairstyle that makes you look 10 years younger or get a massage that makes you feel 10 years younger?
Massage.
Massage. That's an easy one. And I assume you don't want your kids to give it. You actually want to go to the professional.
Oh, I'm good.
She wants to be rubbed on her rear elbows and everything. So you know what to get her for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Tracy.
Thank you.
That's it. Ladies like to be massaged. I told my girl today, I said, what do you give me for Mother's Day? And she said, all I asked for was a bucket of KFC chicken. So I'm really easy to please. But I said, would you rub my back? Would you rub my feet? And she's like, of course. But she does it all the time. Right now we have a skit for you about moms.
So good to see you guys.
Good to
again.
See you too.
I know. We never get to do this anymore. It seems like we just don't have time anymore.
I know.
Speaking of time, Sonia is always late. I am busy, sun up to sundown, pedal to the metal. She's always wasting our time.
She'll be here. Don't worry about it.
Well, I can speed it up. Why don't I take your order right now? What would you like?
Triple shot espresso black.
Okay.
That was fast. I will have a venti skinny. Cinnamon caramel dolce latte with one packet of sweet and low and one packet of Splenda, please. And one packet of raw sugar, no whipped cream. Can I have some, can you make that at 180 degrees with a little bit of caramel drizzle on top and a few cinnamon sprinkles?
How long is that gonna take?
Okay, let me finish right now.
But I found a really good deal in this outfit kit.
So very cute. Always so put together.
Thank you.
You're so cute.
Okay, well, why don't I take your order now, too?
I would love a strawberry frappuccino with lots of whipped cream. Double whip.
Okay, please. Times two whip. Uh-huh. What about you?
I'm not sure. I can't decide. Maybe I'll just take what she's having over there.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Thanks.
Be back in a minute.
Well, ladies, you know it's flu season again. Don't forget your hand sanitizer. And did you hear that Koinonia is giving out hand sanitizer on Sunday to all
the
moms? I'm not missing that service.
Did you hear that Miss Donna Howard is winning Mother of the Year?
She deserves it.
I am not surprised.
The perfect mother, absolutely. That's one award I shall never receive because I put my child through divorce and I parented in guilt and I was kind of more of a friend than a mom.
You, I don't think I'd put enough pressure on my kids. Being a single mom, maybe I should have had a little bit more structure in my home.
I don't know. I have a lot of structure. We had something to do, sun up to sun down. The kids play two sports apiece, 3.8 GPA. I don't know. We could have had more fun.
Well, I did everything perfect. I read all the books on parenting. I was president of the PTA. I took my kids to church. And yet, I have one child in Harvard and one child in San Quentin.
Melissa.
Melissa, I don't know a mom that prays any more than you do. You spend so much time on your knees. And Loopy, you are the prayer warrior. You fight for your kids. And they are strong today because of you.
Thank you, Sonia. But you're fun. I mean, we had so much. Didn't we have fun taking our family to her house? You were so much fun.
Always the fun house. And Eva, I just have to tell you, my kids always love going to your house because you spent quality time with them. You listened to them when they needed someone.
Thank you.
You know, gals, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, I couldn't help but overhearing your conversation. I got to tell you, I was really touched. But, you know, that woman you were talking about who won the award, she didn't do it by herself. I'm sure she had sisters and family and girls like you that encouraged and helped her along. That's how she got that award. God made us all different, not so we'd compare ourselves with each other, but so that we'd fit together like a puzzle. Pieces, you know, where when you're weak, she's strong, and vice versa for all of you. So we really do see there's no perfect mom. Our job is to encourage each other and point each other to Jesus.
Oh my gosh, I forgot to pick up my child at school.
Oh, your bags.
Sorry, girls, gotta go.
She's late and then she leaves early.
That girl.
I'm gonna leave that there.
You know, I want to introduce three wonderful moms to you. And we wanted to do something different this year. We really did want to highlight that there are no perfect moms. We are not perfect. We're broken. But yet, God works through us. He does things through us. It's amazing what he does. And the first one is going to be Leslie Martinez. She was up here giving the gifts away. And she's going to be speaking about an imperfect mother also. Then we will be having Sonia Bratton. She's the ditzy one here that was, you know, forgot her kids at school. And she's going to talk about her three moms. And then we have Lupe Capoze, who she was over here, the pedal to the metal gal. She's going to be talking about her mom and the chaotic lifestyle that she was raised in, but how God came through. So gals, let's see. Leslie, you want to come first? In fact, I'll take this.
Being a mom is a hard job. It's an awesome thing, but it is hard. You know, for 9.5 months, it depends on if you go over 10, you carry this baby inside your body. Then they send you to the hospital, you go to the hospital, you labor, you have pain. And finally, when you think you're to the brink where you can't take anymore and you think you're gonna die, out pops this brand new human being. They're awesome and they're beautiful and they're wonderful. And just when you are coming out of shock, they kick you out of the hospital, they send you home and they say, okay, now take this new little life and make it a productive citizen. And don't make any mistakes, because then it's problems. And it's hard. It's an awesome, daunting thing. You sit and examine everything you do. Am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? And you beat yourself down. So today, we are going to talk about moms and imperfect ones. No, let's not say imperfect ones. I don't want to use that because that puts it in a negative. I want to talk about almost perfect. There is a pressure on a society to be that, to be all-encompassing in everything our child needs. I think that's what makes helicopter parents, swirling around, keeping everybody okay. And I want to share about my mom. My mom was awesome, amazing. She passed away a couple years ago, passed on and over. She was strong and bold and beautiful, 6 foot tall, redhead. She loved God and she loved people. If you stood still long enough, she'd pray for you and you'd feel his presence. She heard him. There's so many great, wonderful things. And she loved me. And she loved my sisters. There's two older sisters in my family. So I want to share about her. She was perfect. Almost. She wasn't. And I took from those mistakes that she did, and I learned from them. I took character, and more than them being mistakes, they were things that became strengths in my life. She was a depressed person for the first part of her life. At 40, she gave her life to the Lord, and took a different path. But for those first years of my upbringing, she was sad and depressed and hurting. And she wanted to sleep in a lot. So she would get me and my sisters ready, and she would take us to church, to Sunday school. Awesome, you think. That's wonderful. Except she would just drop us off and leave us there. And she would go home and sleep. At least that's what we think. Or just go home and not have to take care of us. Seems to be a negative, except in Sunday school, at 5, I received Jesus. Somebody told me that he loved me and that he died for me. And if I was the only person that would ever receive his love, that he would have done it just for me. And I was hooked. And I fell in love. So that thing that she did was kind of just getting rid of us and thinking we would be in a good environment did something that changed my life forever. I was forever his. Went on from that point, never received any teaching after that because we left shortly after that. But I loved him and prayed to him. I didn't need any. He had ignited something in me. So out of that came something amazing and good. And that's kind of what Lord does. She was sad and depressed, and it was kind of a theme for my life. She bought us a record player, which was a great thing. Back then, you didn't have iTunes, you didn't have phones, you didn't have... So she bought a record player for me and my sisters, and she brought one record called Tammy. It was Tammy Wynette's, and it kind of had a theme that fed into, if you know it, then you know the kind of music I'm talking about. And she would play it over and over and over again, and it went a little something like this. This D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today. Me and little J-O-E, oh, we'll be going away. I love you so, and this'll be pure H-E-double-L for me. Oh, I wish that we could stop this D-I-V-O-R-C-E. I knew every word of every song on that album. It was sad, heartbreaking music, and it fed that thing in her. And you would think, well, why didn't you just put another record on? It would have helped things out. Well, she only bought one record, and that was the record. So I knew every word. That taught me something as I grew older. And as she came to the Lord, it taught her something too, the power of music. Music is a force for good. And so when she became to know the Lord, she said, no secular music in the house. It brought up all that old life and heartbreak for her. And it didn't fortify what was good. And so it taught me to listen to that which was edifying. And there's a lot of good music out there that's not bad for you, or in the sense that it doesn't pull you down or put you in a different place. And so I took that and gleaned that and used that for my life and listened to good music, trying to teach my children the same way, that they should listen. Whatever's edifying, whatever's good, whatever lifts you up, yes. And you kind of have to take that out. So I took the good out of this thing. And I'm sharing with you just a few light things that were part of my childhood, because we don't need to get into anything. And I only have 6 minutes, which I'm probably going over anyway. But I'm wrapping up. So she went about, and at 40, she received the Lord. It made a huge difference in her life and in mine. I was at 12, and so she received him, and it turned a whirlabout thing. But there was still one thing that she needed to do, and she needed to forgive herself. And she needed to forgive herself for being maybe a lousy mom at times and neglecting and making bad choices and doing things that weren't good for her children. But then she also needed to go to us and ask us to forgive her for what she had done. She was accountable to it. And we talked it over as adults, and we cried and we laughed and we made amends for that. She left a letter when she passed away. And a major part of it was how proud she was of us as girls, the women we had become, that the Lord had steered and moved in us. But it was also that she wanted us to forgive her again, to make sure that we had left nothing in us that would scar us, because she said that would be for our benefit that we would forgive her. Some of you have imperfect moms. Some of you are have been imperfect moms. There is forgiveness for you. New beginnings and strength that you've never felt before. He'll make you almost perfect.
Thank you, Leslie. That was wonderful. Hello, my name is Sonia Bratton. I am the mother of two children, Brianne, who is 31 years old, and Dylan, who is 20, and then I have an 8-year-old grandson named Jace. I'm going to share with you something that God put on my heart about 5 years ago when I was complaining on Mother's Day. Actually, I was mad on Mother's Day because I didn't have the special kind of mother that several of my friends did. They had moms who would help them with the house, cooking, decorating, and gardening. I didn't have a mom like that. Their moms would help them with the kids, attend all extracurricular activities, and spend time with them. I didn't have a mom like that. Their moms would call often, go to lunch, shop, and have girl time. I didn't have a mom like that either. Their moms set good examples, were spiritual and full of wisdom. They were good listeners and gave great advice. I didn't have a mom like that. They had the kind of mom that all the Hallmark cards were written for. I didn't have a mom like that. Yes, I was feeling very sorry for myself, but even in my sorrow, God spoke to me and said, "No, Sonia, you didn't have a perfect mother. You had three imperfect mothers to care for you during your childhood. Your first mother, who was your birth mother, chose not to abort you, and when she knew that she couldn't care for you, made sure that you stayed with family instead of adopting you out. Your second mother, who was your great aunt and foster mother, was up in years, set in her ways and strict, but she taught you all about me, read you bedtime stories, had you memorize scripture, kept you safe, sewed and cooked for you all the while, never leaving you with a babysitter. Your third mother became your stepmother and best friend, who you never fought with. Even though she had her crazy flaws, you had consistency, a stay-at-home mom, meals every day, clothes, camping, and family security. You see, Sonia, not everyone gets three mothers. Most only have one. You may say that it took three moms to raise you, but with all of them combined, you have the perfect mother meeting all of your needs. You are the person you are today because of these three women I have placed in your life. Be grateful, my daughter. So, I never complain on Mother's Day. Instead, I am thankful for my mother. Today, my birth mother and I are knit together in unity because of Christ. And I've realized that the best gift I can give my mother for a Mother's Day gift is forgiveness. I love
Thank you, Sonia. That was beautiful. And thank you, Leslie. I wish I would have prepared a song. We listened to Vicente Fernandez when I was a kid, so Anyways, I didn't prepare that song, so maybe next time. They didn't ask me to sing this morning, so. My name is Guadalupe Capozzi, for those of you who don't know me, and I was really excited, actually, when I was asked to share my mom's story. One of the reasons why I was excited is because it's just a really great reminder of God's goodness to me and how awesome he has been in my life, and even how, as a child, he was just always there and always protecting us. My childhood was extremely tumultuous, to say the least. My childhood encompassed having a mom who spent a few decades drug addicted, who was in and out of jail and who went to prison. We had parole agents and law enforcement visiting our home, and we were surrounded by a lot of colorful people. My siblings and I became casualties of this kind of lifestyle. But you know, even in the midst of all of that, I just saw God's protection over us. There's so much that didn't happen that could have happened to us. We lived in hotels. We lived in studio apartments. We lived with family members who acted as foster parents, and sometimes we lived with my mom. By the time I was in the eighth grade, I had went to nine different schools by the time I was in the eighth grade, and just really learned how to make that work because we moved so much and things were extremely unpredictable. I don't share this story as a victim or someone who has some hard luck story about how, you know, things were for me. I really share it from a place of glory, appreciation for the Lord and how good he has been to me. In Psalm 66:10, it says that God would refine us like he does silver. And when I was praying about this message and asking God to give me something to say, he actually gave me that phrase, refined, not defined. Refined, not defined, that the things that we had went through were more of a refining process. And when silver is burnt and it's refined, that's when it actually exposes its beauty and it becomes valuable. And that is the same thing with us. What God did in this situation is he turned things around. I mean, one of the glaring testimonies is that my mother has been drug-free for two decades, and she's a very productive person who works at a local nonprofit advocating for minorities and people in need. I'm very proud of her. Out of my four siblings who grew up in that situation, none of us have ever been arrested. All four of us went to college. Two of us graduated from college. And I'm a parole agent today, actually. That's what I do for a living. But I can't take any credit for that. I have to be very honest. That has every single thing to do with Jesus and nothing to do with me. I didn't wake up one day and decide this is what I was going to do. God protected us and took care of us through all of that. And he let me know along the way that I was not defined by any of this. I'm not defined by any of that. The most important piece of this message, I believe, is twofold. The first piece is for that mother who maybe has fell into these kinds of problems as a mother along the way, or maybe is still battling these problems and has exposed her children to this type of lifestyle. God is saying it's over, receive his forgiveness and allow him to use this situation for his glory. Mm-hmm. The other piece of it is for those adults who maybe have lived through this, or teenagers who are in this room right now who have experienced this, and God is saying to not let this define you. You are not defined by any of that. The goal in all of this was that each and every one of us would be refined to become what it is that God intended us all to be, and he intended us all to be a blessing to this world. God bless you.
Girls, thank you so very much. I'm listening to them, Donna, and I'm thinking how many other stories could be told. I mean, there are lots of moms here today. And
there'd be a ton of stories out there.
Stories that really need to be heard. You know, everybody's not going to be able to stand before a crowd like this and share, but Your story is important, and it's being written. It's being written as we speak. And as a matter of fact, don't even focus on the story that's being written. There's a sequel coming up with your children as well, and your story is going to continue to go on. Those are three powerful stories. Whenever I listen to something like that, I always try to say, what's God saying to me? I usually try to say, what's my takeaway? Three speakers, what are three takeaways? What's the first one you decide?
Well, the first one, I think, I just have to say, there are no perfect moms. And I realize that in our society, we are so hooked on being perfect, presenting a perfect image, being that right person, you know, dressing just right, looking just right, doing the right thing. And that really doesn't make life for you. God has called us to be real people, real moms. Our flaws and everything, He's called us to be, you know, to just love the way that we can and allow Him to come and work in us. I think in Romans 3:23 it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that right there would tell you not one single person on the face of this earth is perfect.
Yeah.
If we were perfect, we'd be God.
We've all got,
or we'd be in heaven.
We've all got dirty hands.
So we do. We have dirty hands that we feel many times would disqualify us. But I love what Lupus said and what Sonia and Leslie said. The Lord can use that and produce a full crop of glory in people, no matter what the situation that they're raised in.
I think that's what happens when God comes into the picture. We fall short. I don't know if you watched the news this past week, but there was a lady in the Marine Corps who was in the medical field. She was on taking an arduous test, and very few people passed this, but she had to pass it in order to go into the military and do what she was called to do. And just before the finish line, after a couple of days of real agonizing pain, she couldn't go on, and she fell down. And they stood around her cheering her on, and she got up finally and crossed the finish line. And I think that's what happens. We all fall short. Mm-hmm. Isaiah says that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all gone astray. But that's where, when God enters the picture, He picks us up, and He helps us in our imperfections.
Right.
As you were saying that, I thought that it's not just imperfect people, but in an imperfect environment.
Right.
There's no
right.
perfect environment. When you go back to Genesis, God put Adam and Eve in a perfect environment, and yet they screwed it up.
Yeah, still.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know how to mess stuff up. Listen, if you're looking for a perfect church and you're perfect, don't come back, because, you know, we're all broken. You know, this is not a perfect place. But God takes us, and I read a quote the other day that said, 10% of life happens to you. 90% is how you respond to what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. And I think that's evidence in the three gals that you just heard. They responded to what took place. An imperfect mom, an imperfect environment, responded to that, turned it around, became what they are today.
And I think the thing I love about that, you were talking about pain there. Pain is not always a bad thing. Lean into that pain, because many times that pain drives you to the cross. It drives you to the foot of Jesus and says, I can't do it, Lord. I have to have you. It's what He's been waiting for. It's what He's been waiting for, to hear you say that. I need you to do what I need to do.
Yeah. Wouldn't you think that's probably a second takeaway? It's God Works the Night Shift?
Yes. Yes.
That's the title of a book that we've both read, and friends of ours wrote it, Ron Mell. But it was God Works the Night Shift. He turns the tables on the enemy when we call on Him. Even before we call upon Him,
right.
You know, God's at work. Romans says, before you loved Him, before I loved Him, He loved us. So He's at work, but sometimes it gets so painful you can't see Him, can you?
Well, and I think too, whenever we go through dark times, and I mean times where there's so much chaos, there's so much pain, that you're not understanding what's going on, we assume that God has left us. But like Lupe says, He's refining you. Pain refines. Those times of chaos, those times of less than perfect environment, refine us like silver. like gold.
Yeah. When she said that, I thought, boy, I wish I'd have said that. That was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
This past Friday, we had a leadership cast that Pastor Andrew oversees every year, and it's growing every year. Had lots of leaders throughout the community
city.
Come.
The
pardon?
From the city.
From
yeah.
the city and the community, yes. They came and attended. And one of the speakers was a Navy SEAL who understood what it was like to be in pain. And he said this. He says, it may not sound too deep, but the best thing you can do with your pain is to embrace it and face it. Don't try to erase it. You know, sometimes we try to run from our pain rather than embracing our pain. And when we do embrace it, all of a sudden God, at that moment in time, can turn it around and make it work somehow. Mm-hmm. That's why we can say he works the night shift.
Yeah, he does.
What's the third takeaway?
Well, I really think it's that grace is available. Grace is available in any instance, in any situation, at any time for every person. Mm. And grace is God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor and kindness that help us to live out a life that is worthy to Him. And if there was not grace dispensed to us, I don't think we could stand a day.
Yeah.
We couldn't stand a day.
Yeah. I like what you just said a few moments ago. You said God wants us to come to the cross and say, I can't do it. You know, we're always trying to say, I can. We're trying to build people up. No, you can do it. You can do it. The truth is, we can't do it without God.
That's right.
You know, you can't tame your tongue without the help of God. You have to Amen. Involve Him in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's grace revealed to us. Is there a scripture that comes to your mind with regards to that?
Well, that was in Hebrews 4:13.
4:16, yeah.
4:16. Let him quote it. It's his favorite scripture.
No, it's
now.
Not my favorite.
I learned that last service. You said that it was now your favorite.
Put me on the spot. I haven't memorized it verbatim. turn your sleeve here.
I covered it for you.
There we go. I can quote that thing right there. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy mm-hmm. and grace to help us in our time of need. Now, what was my favorite scripture?
It was in Luke where it says, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Okay, so I'm changing it now.
You're
so
changing.
Now, next time you put me on the spot and embarrass me, I'm going to remember that and be able to say that. So, but kidding aside, we all stand by grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we call it amazing grace. And you've heard me say, you and I aren't that amazing. He's amazing. Amazing grace that keeps us to stand here. Lamentations. We've been talking about our hearts. We talk about hands that get dirty. Lamentations, just a small book in the Old Testament right in the middle. It's right in the middle of the book. It says, let us lift up our hearts with our hands. And I feel like we should conclude today by having moms stand again and have you pray for them. Just that the Lord would purify us, our hearts, as we lift them up to you, to erase the past. I loved it. Our past doesn't have to define us.
That's right.
We're all here today. None of us can go back and start a new beginning. But we can, as of today, create a new ending.
That's right.
And if we have a new ending to our life, the sequel can be even better than our story. Because all of us have a story. It's really God's story, and we're a part of His story. But you have a story worth telling that needs to be shared with others, and God has to let you
That's right.
know what He's saying to you about your story, because it's important. And even though you can't change the past, you can change the future, because it hasn't yet been written. He'll use your obedience as His pen to write your future. So moms, why don't you stand, and I'm going to have Donna pray. And as when she begins to pray, if you wouldn't mind, let's just do what the author of Lamentations says. He says, lift up your hearts and your hands, as if you're putting your hearts before the Lord. And we have some sanitizer stuff for you that you can wash your hands, but now He's the only one who can purify us.
Yes.
He's the only one who can say, no, your past is your past. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to keep playing it. We're going to move on into the future. So let Donna pray and let's receive this. If you're a husband or a family member and you feel like you wouldn't mind doing this, just reach out to your mother or your wife and just touch her and allow the prayer to be a part of you as well.
Lord, we do lift up our hearts with our hands. Lord, lift them up saying, we cannot do this job alone. We were never meant to do it alone. It was always to be in connection with you. Somehow we took it on ourselves, and we, many of us, have failed miserably. Lord, I remember times that I failed miserably in my times of correction with my children. And I remember just crying out to you and saying, God, I can't do this job. And you said, yes, you can. My grace is sufficient for you. That means it's not just enough. It's more than enough. It's sufficient to meet every need that you have. Oh, Lord, I pray that every woman here who would have that sense of shame or sense of failure in their mothering or in something that they've done, let that be cleansed away, because now is a new start for many of us. Lord, I've been impressed to say, okay, Lord, I'm starting anew. I'm starting anew. Even though I've had a second, my redo with my grandson, Lord, I need you now more than ever. I pray that there would be a grace extended to every home where a mother lives, to every child, to every mother, to everyone who comes in contact with, to be able to say, I can do this job because Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ dispensed grace upon me that I would have right relationship with him and right relationship with the Father. I have clean hands before the Father. I can lift them up and I can know that you, Lord, see me. You are the God who sees me and you are the God who loves me. Let us know your love today. Let it be sealed by your presence and your whisper of love for each and every mother today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus. Now, would everybody stand? I felt like I'm supposed to have a prayer too. So just let's take the hands of and join hands and just kind of bridge the aisles. This is not a prayer for every mom today. It's actually a prayer for some moms, but a prayer for those who are not moms. I kind of just had this quickening in my spirit that I'm supposed to pray for some of you who really are married, you're in a godly situation, and you want to be pregnant, but you haven't given birth to a child. And I want to pray that happens today. And I believe that can. If that's you and you want to identify yourself, you can just squeeze the hand of the person beside you, but you don't have to do that to make that known. But I'm going to pray that you who have been seeking for a child, that you would be impregnated and that would take place. But I also want to pray for those who have children, but you're looking to adopt a child, and you're maybe even in the process of adoption, and it's not going as smoothly as you would want. I'm going to pray that will be successful, because you know there's lots of ways to be a mom. There's a lot of spiritual moms here today. Some of you may not even have children, but you can still be a mother today. So, Father, just in this moment of time, I just speak into being that seed of life to be planted in those who are married and wanting to experience the pleasure and the joy and actually the gift of children. I pray that would happen. I can't make that happen, but if this is you, then I'm asking for something that you're going to do. And so for those who fit this description, I pray that they would contact us and let us know when they become pregnant, oh Lord, and when this happens so that we can rejoice with them. And I pray for those who are seeking to adopt children who don't have homes, who are experiencing great difficulty. Thank you for the foster parents here today who have demonstrated love by laying down their choices for the choice of others, the best of others. And I pray that those agencies would give them favor so that they could adopt the children that are in need of being adopted. I pray for these in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You are a perfect mom as far as I'm concerned, babe. Thank you.
Be blessed today. Have a great day.
God bless you.